Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. As you may have surmised by now, Sefer Yirmiyahu looks like a compilation from a journal that is not always organized chronologically. The entries record Hashem's messages that Yirmiyahu was sent to convey to various individuals or groups, some revelations and communications between the prophet and Hashem, and describe some events that the prophet witnessed or experienced. He intersperses autobiographical snippets and personal reactions, allowing the reader to get a feel for the tragic life of the man, Yirmiyahu. The opening of chapter 11 recalls prophecies from the early part of Yirmiyahu's career, about 35 years before Churban HaBayit, when he participated in Yoshiyahu's campaign to bring the populace of Mamlechet Yehuda back to Yiddishkeit. Yirmiyahu records that scene in verses 2 to 5, which are reminiscent of this renewal of the vows, which was depicted in Melachim Bet. Shimu et divrei habrit hazot, v'dibartam el ish Yehuda ve'al yoshvei Yerushalayim. ואמרת עליהם, כה אמר השם מלוקי ישראל, ארור האיש אשר לא ישמע את דברי הברית הזאת, אשר ציוויתי את אבותיכם ביום הוציאי אותם מארץ מצרים, מקור הברזל, לאמור, שימו בקולי, ועשיתם אותם ככל אשר אצווה אתכם, והייתם לי לעם, ואנוכי אהיה לכם לאלוהים. למען הקים את השבועה אשר נשבעתי לאבותיכם, לתת להם ארץ זבת חלב ודבש, כיום הזה, ואן ואומר אמן השם. Hashem tells him, listen to the terms of this covenant, and tell them to the people of Yehuda, and to those who live in Yerushalayim. Tell them that this is what Hashem, the God of Israel, says. Cursed is the one who does not obey the terms of this covenant, the terms I commanded your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace. I said then, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Then I will fulfill the oath I swore to your ancestors, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you possess today. And Yirmiyahu writes, I replied and said, Amen, Hashem, when he heard these words. Hashem emphasized that he had kept his part of the bargain made with Avraham Avinu at Brit Ben Haptarim, as recorded in the 15th chapter of Bereshit. There it's written, Vayomer le'Avraham yadoa teda ki ger yeh zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. ועבדום, ועינו אותם 400 שנה. וגם את הגוי אשר יעבודו, דן אנוכי, ואחרי כן יצאו ברכוש גדול. He said to Abraham, Know well that your offspring will be strangers in a land that's not theirs, and there they will enslave them and afflict them for 400 years. However, the nation whom they will serve, I will also judge, and afterwards they will come out with great wealth. In fact, Hashem freed Avraham's descendants from bondage well before 400 years, and brought them to the promised land of milk and honey. But now, Hashem dispatches Yirmiyahu, as he had sent other messengers throughout 8 centuries, to remind the Jews that they had not kept their side of the contract, as Hashem bemoans in verses 7 and 8. From the time I brought your ancestors up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, obey me. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the obstinance of their evil hearts. Though their ancestors pledged at Sinai to obey Hashem's commandment, then again, prior to Moshe's death, they recommitted, understanding the blessings that would accrue if they fulfilled their promise, and conversely, the curses that would follow should they breach it. That covenant was again renewed by the people entering Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua's leadership at Har Eival and Har Gerizim, and thereby obligated all future generations that would be beneficiaries of this covenant. Nonetheless, Yoshiyahu had deemed it appropriate to have his subjects publicly renew those vows while clarifying the consequences of breaching the covenant. Upon the death of Yoshiyahu, it became painfully clear that all along there was a festering rot among the remnants of Mamlechet Yisrael that were scattered in the land, as well as at the core of Judean society, and which now, with his death, surfaced with a vengeance. In the early days of his son, Jehoiakim, the idolatrous underground dared to openly rebel against the restrictions imposed by his father, the previous monarch. So Hashem tells Yirmiyahu in verses 9 and 10, Vayomer Hashem Elai, Nimtza Kesher, Be'ish Yehuda uviyoshvei Yerushalayim. Shavu al avonot avotam arishonim, asher me'enu lishmoa et dvarai, vehem ma'alchu acharei Elohim acharim le'ovdam. Heferu be'Israel uveit Yehuda et briti asher karati et avotam. There is a conspiracy among the people of Yehuda and those who live in Yerushalayim. They have returned to the sins of their ancestors, who had refused to listen to my words. They have followed other gods and served them. Both Israel and Yehuda have broken the covenant I made with their ancestors. Consequently, Hashem decrees in verse 11, I will bring on them a disaster they cannot escape. Although they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Hashem warns as the troubling threat of the Babylonian conquests proceed. The towns of Yehuda and the people of Yerushalayim will go and cry out to the gods to whom they burn incense, but they will not help them at all when the disaster strikes. You, Yehuda, have as many gods as you have towns, and the altars that you have set up to burn incense to that shameful god Baal are as many as the streets of Yerushalayim. Hearing this, Yirmiyahu was about to pray for mercy, but Hashem silences him in verse 14. Ve'ata, al titpalel be'ad ha'am hazeh, ve'al tisa be'adam rina utfila, ki eineni shomea be'et koram elai be'ad ra'atam. As for you, don't pray for this nation or offer any plea or petition on their behalf, because I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their distress. This is followed by Hashem's admonishment. Mali yedidi biveti, asota hamizimata harabim, upsar kodesh yavru me'alecha, ki ra'atechi naz ta'alozi. Rashi suggests that Yedidi, which means my beloved, refers to Am Yisrael, Hashem's treasured nation, and accordingly, this verse drips with bitter irony and should be interpreted as, what's my beloved doing in my temple? Given her many scheming sins and having even abolished circumcision, by which her children were once sanctified to me, apparently, as you do evil, you revel in joy. In contrast, Rabbi Yosef Kara, Rashi's contemporary, suggests Yedidi refers to the righteous prophet who is attempting to pray for his people. And he would translate this verse as, why are you, my beloved, coming to my temple to pray for them? They scheme, they breach the holy covenant of Brit Milah, and rejoice at the downfall of others. That difficult admonishment is followed by Hashem's elegy, an expression of grief for a betrayed love, as he compares the nation to a lovely olive sapling that yielded beautiful fruit. But now it has been infested and has stopped yielding fruit, and therefore may now be burned or uprooted. Zayit ra'anan yefe pritoa, kara Hashem shmech. Lekol hamula gdola hetzit esh aleha. V'ra'u dalyotav. Hashem called you a thriving olive tree with fruit beautiful in form. But with the roar of a mighty storm, he will set it on fire and its branches will be broken. Yirmiyahu responds in comparable poetic style to describe the abuse he suffers as the bearer of bad news. He had borne the brunt of curses and threats, but had not been aware that his own townsmen were conspiring to kill him. So he records in verses 18 to 19, V'Hashem hodi'ani ve'eda'a, Az hir'atani ma'alaleihem, V'ani kecheves aluf yuval litvoach, V'lo yadati, ki alai chashvu machshavot. Because Hashem revealed their plot to me, I knew it. Then you showed me what they are plotting, but I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they were scheming plots against me. The imagery of a tame sheep, unaware that it is being led to the slaughter, has been subsumed for innocent victims of mindless hatred, and is reminiscent of the 44th Psalm, a lament by the Jewish exiles persecuted by ruthless enemies who despise them precisely because of their loyalty to Hashem. The psalmist there lamented, "You have turned us over like sheep to be eaten and have scattered us among the nations." Hashem reveals that Yirmiyahu's townsmen are planning his death, but the language of the conspiracy is somewhat obscure. Nashchita etz belachmo, v'nichretenu me'eretz chaim, u'shmo lo yizacher od. According to the Targum, they were planning to kill him slowly by poison taken from some tree and putting it into his bread, as indicated by the word belachmo. Malbim explains that the effects of the poison are cumulative and would take effect after a while, so the perpetrators could not be caught and punished. Yirmiyahu did not imagine that his neighbors, his own kinsmen, Kohanim living in Anatot, would turn on him. He is despised by those who refuse to abandon a fanciful dream and face reality. When he becomes aware of the depth of their hatred, he is outraged and invokes divine vengeance against his persecutors, even his own relatives. V'Hashem Tzvakot, Shofet Tzedek, Bochen Klayot Valev, Er'e Nikmatecha Mehem, Ki Eilecha Giliti Et Rivi. But Hashem, who judges righteously and tests the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed my grievance. So as this chapter comes to a close, Hashem decrees the fate of those who plan to silence Yirmiyahu. Habachurim yamutu b'cherev, bnehem uvnotehem yamutu b'rav, u'sheirit lo tiyeh lahem. I will punish them. Their young men will die by the sword, their sons and daughters by famine. Not even a remnant will be left to them, because I will bring disaster on the people of Anatot in the year of their reckoning. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.